Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Thursday, the 8th of April. Many happy returns if you are indeed a person who has your birthday on that day. This is the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Moore. He's just swinging from his Nalgene, so I'll try and fill until he's able to speak again. You all right, mate?
I'm still here, Nalgene. Still here.
Oh, still here. Jones,
they've not got in touch.
Nalgene action.
It's been years, but I'm still here. Still doing it. Still repping the brand, baby.
Lovely old job. Two things, Luke. I have just been informed by Trainline that I'm eligible for a refund of £7.40 because I did not pick up some tickets that I bought.
Not worth it.
Not worth it, mate. Didn't need it. Didn't need it.
Seriously.
£7.40.
How long... Think about... You don't have to tell us this, but think about your own salary. Think about how long it'll take you to get the refund and then work out if it'll be worth it or not.
Yeah, true. Look, but that's what they are depending on, isn't it? That's what they... If they don't do it...
Actually, that is true. You should probably do it as principles.
So few people with principles these days.
What are your non-negotiable principles?
You've heard my opinion on people who insist you take your shoes off at the door.
Oh, yeah. This comes up all the time. Just, I don't know why you're so funny about this.
I'm just like, I'll offer, but if you ask me, I'll think a little bit less of you.
But why have you got? What happens if you've got dog shit? I don't care. We're doing this again because this is mental. What happens if you've got dog shit on your shoes?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter because I'll always offer. But if you tell me before I offer, I'll be upset.
But what happens if you offer and I say yes, please take them off?
No. I mean, sorry. When I mean I'll offer, I will always take my shoes off. So if someone asks me, if someone says, it is my policy that nobody wears that you don't wear shoes in the house. And especially when later I see you in shoes, I'm a little bit put out by that, to be quite frank.
Well, listen,
I'll always take my shoes off. You'll never see me in the house with shoes. Don't worry about that. But if someone's... I want to enjoy the person sort of going, don't worry about that, Pete. I'll go, no, I will take the shoes off.
Oh, I see what you mean.
A lot of people.
Okay, so my situation, I can only speak on behalf of myself. You'll not catch me wearing shoes at any point. We've got our houses on the first floor. The entrance is fairly obviously at the ground floor. We take our shoes off in the little carpeted bit, which is actually more like a large kind of welcome mat on that bit. The shoes don't go any higher than that, generally speaking, unless my wife is feeling particularly cheeky, which is semi-regular, let's be honest. But you won't find me wearing shoes in the house. If you come to my house, which I don't think you've ever done, but if you did, and I open the door, what you're saying is, if I just jump straight in there and the first thing I say is take your shoes off, you think that's poor form because you're ready to go on that. So you're ready to go straight away.
I'm already willing. I'll have the shoehorn down the back of my ankle, to be quite frank.
Before you can say, get your shoes off.
I'm a big fan of shoehorns. I once went to an Airbnb.
Do you like the long ones? I like the long ones. You don't see them as much.
I've got a long one with a goose or maybe a duck's head. That's the one I've got, like an amber duck's head, a little bit like Jurassic Park. That's the shoehorn of my home. But big fan of shoehorns. I was in an Airbnb in Sweden once, and this really classy man with a cool house that he's renting us. He was pleased to see you. He was just very sort of like, he just took his shoes right off or put them on with his shoehorn. It was incredible. Incredible.
I love to see it. It's one of those things for me. Like I said before, doing your coat up when you've got shorts on, you know, things that are just really satisfying. Putting a shoe on with a shoehorn is right up there for me. I've got a shoehorn that I'm going to be totally honest, I stole from a hotel in Berlin. called right. the Melia yeah. Hotel. If you're listening, Berlin Melia, get in touch. You can have it back.
Nice hotel.
I'm a man of greater means now. I could probably afford my own one. Mm. I've never looked back, to be honest. I enjoy it a great deal, particularly with formal shoes. Don't need to worry about it with trainers, but formal shoes is a great thing. I do like the idea of a big long one with a duck's head at the top. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a classy little horn, so to speak.
Did you use it this morning?
Did use it this morning to put my little trainers on. Andy Brassel from the Football Ramble. I fancied a pair of trainers because I've only got some dirty old Adidas Samba, because I live out in the sticks and it's very muddy, very dusty, very sandy. And some of my shoes are, my kicks are always absolutely covered in filth. And I was like, you know what? It'd be quite nice to have like a pair of shoes that I don't wear when I take the dogs for a walk, just for everyday use. And I went, Andy, what shoes would you say I should get? And he said, what do you call them? Not high tops, but like half length or quarter length. I don't really know what they're called.
He's a bit of a sneakerhead, isn't he, Brassel?
He's a bit of a sneakerhead. So he said, get some Nike Air Doins. So I got some Nike Air Doins, and they're very comfortable. Very comfortable. But I do put them on with a shoehorn, like all the rappers do.
Have you not got any like proper walking shoes for your countryside pile?
Mate. Mark Haynes, who does the Wrestle Me podcast with me, he's got a pair of like sort of, they're not professional hiking shoes, but they're decent hiking shoes. And he's had them for about 4 years, and they look very comfortable. They look like slippers these days. They're lovely.
Yeah, yeah. But I get the impression that walking shoes is a hill you're prepared to die on.
Yeah, can't be arsed with them. Can't.
Yeah, you'll get to 60 and be like, I'm not getting old man's walking shoes. There was a guy I used to work with who refused to. He had like his real kind of thing about. I don't really know why, but he refused to have a pair of like formal shoes, any kind of formal shoes, and he refused to wear a coat.
Right.
So he
would
only wear hoodies, right? So even if it was pissing it down, he would only wear a hoodie,
very
and he would just take
the old hoodie.
Yeah, it's the last thing you want. It's the absolute last thing you want. And but he was like very kind of, no, if I get a coat and the formal shoes, it means I'm old. And it was like, well. I mean, you are quite old. You're the same age as me. So, Peter, I was going to ask you if you'd seen this story about the deepest known shipwreck being dived down to with a remote control sub and investigated. Bloody fascinating. Mm. There's a ship called the USS Johnston, which I think was sunk during World War II by, I believe, the Japanese, the Battle of Samar in 1944. And it currently lies 6,456 metres beneath the surface of the Filipino Sea, or the Philippine Sea. And they sent the expedition sent a little sub-piloted sub down there to have a look. And because it's so deep, apparently, there's hardly any oxygen. So it's really beautifully preserved. And some of the photos look absolutely fascinating, in my opinion. Really, really interesting.
The gun mounts look really, really good. They look like something out of an Airfix kit. Very enjoyable. Are there any kind of... Would there be bodies on there, down there? Or if there's no oxygen, they may have been preserved?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It didn't go into that. But it was a very, very... Well, I'm sure they're all pretty horrific, but it was a particularly horrific sinking because only 141 of the crew of 327, I think, actually survived. So I'm not sure if they all went down with the ship or not. I don't know if they're going to do a bit more of a further exploration of it. It did say at the bottom of the article, actually, no human remains or clothing were found. But the team did take the time to lay wreaths before and after the dive to commemorate the people who sadly perished. But what it reminded me of was, and I'll tell you about the Mary Rose. I think I might have told you about it before a long time ago, but that was Henry VIII's warship that's now in the Mary Rose Museum in Portsmouth Dockyard. And it is absolutely ridiculous. It's so well preserved because it sank on its maiden voyage, so it was brand new, and it sank so fast and it was so heavy that it basically just buried itself in the silt at the bottom of the Solent.
Right, okay.
So when they raised it, half of it, I think, pretty much half of it was almost fully preserved. And given that it's 500 years old, it's amazing. Honestly, if you're a fan of museums anyway, or even if you're not, everyone listening, if you're not going to be able to go abroad this year, you're not going to go do anything, you want to go on a little day trip somewhere, go to the Mary Rose Museum in Portsmouth Dockyard. It's incredible. They've got like 500, 600 year old, fully preserved like ships, dogs, skeletons, and backgammon sets and cooking pot. It's incredible. It is incredible.
And they didn't pause the dog skeletons in like the dogs playing poker, the dogs playing backgammon. We're not having
playing
like a
snooker.
Little scene. They're playing. They could be playing something else.
One of the dogs is so well preserved. It's got a little cigarillo still in its mouth and a visor on.
Yeah, having a lovely time.
One of the theories about why Henry VIII's warship, the Mary Rose, sank is because he came down to Portsmouth to see it off on its maiden voyage, and they were so desperate to impress him, they overloaded it so much it just instantly sank. I mean, it's bad, really.
Why would he sort of like be impressed by an overladen boat? It would just move really slowly, wouldn't it?
I think it's cannon, mate. I think it's cannon.
Right, okay.
There's just so many cannon on it. And by the way, why is cannon the plural of cannon, not cannons?
A good point, actually, yeah.
It annoys me when they say that. Do you remember when Boris Johnson went mental with those water cannon?
Right, yeah.
Do you remember? He just bought a load of them.
Yeah, it was like 300,000 or something of
they couldn't use them.
He couldn't use.
And it was in the news a lot.
Why couldn't they use it? It was like the Geneva Convention or something. Like, he literally couldn't use them because of the law.
And they also weren't... I don't think they were at all suitable for the topography or the environment they were designed to be used in.
No.
Or that they
no.
bought them for that reason. But anyway, that was in the news. That was a simpler time, as sad as it is to say now. But that was in the news a lot. And they kept calling cannon, the plural of cannon, cannon. And it really annoyed me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, water cannon.
it does. It's also one of those things where it looks like being hit by one of those water cannon would be quite fun.
I imagine, yeah, it would...
But it wouldn't be, would it?
No, it would... I think your eardrums would explode immediately, your eyes would turn to jelly, and you would be...
Bones broken.
Bones broken, propelled backwards, and crack your head on the pavement, and you'd be dead.
Well, you've not really sold it into me there.
No. It doesn't look enjoyable. It does not look enjoyable. I'll tell you what, Luke. Speaking of falling over on some hard paving slabs that possibly are illegal... got the survey back from the house and then went to go and look at the house.
Oh, great.
The survey
good news.
Man, see the survey man. Oh, it's fair to say the house survey came in and it was not complimentary about the home.
No.
And this, fair play, really annoyed the person who was selling the house, bless him. He was really upset about it. Oh, he did not. He was a proud homeowner and he was not pleased with how the man, the surveyor who came round, who refused to wear a mask, and spent most of the time just jumping up and down on the kitchen floor. Told him
it's the easiest job in the world.
I think it's the hardest, one of the hardest jobs in the world, and it was a very detailed surveying.
Who's checking that he's actually got the detail right? He's basically just trying to find things wrong with the house, which he's always going to be able to do.
And then
he's going to cover his ass by overstating it.
And then when I went round and I was like, I'm not an expert, but. I'm fairly certain that if you do have woodworm holes in a bit of wood, they don't heal themselves over time. And so, if it was in the survey when they bought the house, it's the wormwood. The holes are still going to be there when we buy it. It's not going to heal, is it?
No. Did you take your tape measure?
Didn't take my tape measure. No, didn't need to.
You should have clipped it onto your belt.
Yes.
But never used it.
Show him that I mean business. But yeah, he was very emotionally distressed by what the surveyor had drawn. Well, we had a peek around. Everything was fine. I'll buy that money pit. No problems.
Yeah. That's what I thought when I ended up dropping $2,500 on my roof repair last week.
Oh, dear.
But Peter, I think it's a really good idea. If you're going to go and buy something practical, you're going to go to a DIY store, you're going to deal with a tradesman, you're going to go and buy a house, just pop a tape measure on your belt. Never use it. Never refer to it. Yeah. It's a deterrent.
Deterrent for people who are going to try and steal the money off you.
They just think if a man walks around with a tape measure on his belt, he's probably done a lot of practical hands-on work in the past and he knows what he's doing. The more battered the tape measure, the better.
Bit of paint on my face. If I got a bit of paint on my face, yeah.
100%. And it's the same as the office equivalent of if you've got an office job that you don't like, you and I, Pete, have certainly been there, and you want to have a little skive, have a little wander around, make sure you put a piece of paper in your hand. Because no one questions you. They think, oh, he's off to do something.
Yeah.
There was a great story I heard about a guy who was in the army, didn't like it much, couldn't be asked to do anything. So he bought a second beret. So when he was in his office, he could leave his other beret on the desk.
Right.
He bought a coaster, a Bluetooth coaster, which kept his coffee warm.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Left his coffee on there, left his spare berry on the desk. So when anyone poked their head into his office and he wasn't there, they thought, oh, he's got a brand new fresh cup of coffee and his berries are, he can't have gone far, I'll come back in a bit. Never got pulled up on it.
That's a wonderful, wonderful situation to be in.
There's lots of hacks. There's lots of hacks. Well, I think a tape measure for you will stand you in good stead.
My mate, who actually lives down near where you come from, Pompey, he was on base in Baghdad a few months ago. In what can only be described as a shipping container, and his and all of the people on the base, he said, were just spending all of their time getting out of as much work as they possibly could, and then also WhatsApping him and asking for a commendation at the same time. Apparently all the Italians on the base just turned up with loads of Prosecco and were just secretly drinking grappa and Prosecco. And you shouldn't be drinking on a base because you've got live firearms and, you know, drills to do and stuff. But they were just...
That's what I'll tell you about our office.
They were just supping on
You've got
Prosecco.
Drills to do. What are you doing?
But he was just like, they'd be doing that and then they'd be texting him going, can I have a commendation? It'd be really great for my career.
Sure, it would be.
Exactly.
I'm sure it would be. Do you want to go? Do they have visitors? Can you visit?
I'd love to go to Baghdad when it's all a bit safer.
Would your presence there make it safer? I probably would.
I think so. They'd probably just come down and go, whoa, this guy.
Let's have a quick break. And when we come back, we'll do some more battery brands to see if anyone's got a new player entering the game. And we'll also clear up some of the disgusting emails left over from Monday. See you in a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.
This week at Sukarnov.
Over on Clash of the Titles, the gang are counting down to the Oscars with a special month of Best Picture clashes.
Rocky won the Oscar that year. Do you guys think it was a deserving winner that year, or do you think something else should have won?
I think Taxi Driver should have won.
I am with you, Vicky. My heart says Rocky. Rocky's one of my favourite films of all time. I don't like watching Taxi Driver, but it is.
No.
It is.
That's true.
It is amazing.
And that's so true. No one's ever like, oh, do you want a Bosch Taxi Driver?
Or if that doesn't tickle your fancy, and why wouldn't it, check out the Book Club on Football Ramble Presents, where former footballer Ricky Hill discusses the highs and lows of his storied career.
My schoolmaster came in afterwards and said, oh, you know, you've been invited, three of you have been invited for trials up at Luton. And I initially, my thoughts were, where is Luton? I had no idea. and I said, well, I'm not going.
All that and a whole lot more.
Sukarnov. It's Thursday. It's the second half of Luke and Pete Show. Two boys with batteries. Battery brands on a Thursday. We do it every single time. Luke, have we got any new competitors?
Yeah, we've got three Futurists. Candidates. Three candidates this week. The first one is from Has, whose Twitter account I can't see because I've muted him, but he's apparently, I don't know why that is, has, perhaps you want to send an explanation, I'm not sure. He sent in Agfa Photo batteries, Agfa Photo, which I've certainly never seen before. So Pete, if you want to pass them, they can be a new player.
I've seen them personally, but they've not been kind of submitted. Agfa's a big, obviously, a big kind of historical brand from the 80s,
that's the, then they can't be counted, surely.
I've seen them before, but they've never been submitted officially to the Luke and Pete Show canon. So I think, or canons, I think that has may very well have sneaked in with a really obvious one, but you know.
Okay, is that how it works now?
Yeah, I think
you've seen
it
before.
Seen them before, but as long as they haven't been submitted to the show, that's absolutely fine.
Fine. Okay. Has you're in. Harry Lewis is next up with a delightfully titled pair of Dick Smith batteries.
Wow.
Dick Smith, that has got to be a new player. I've never seen those before. I don't know if you've seen them, Pete, but they look completely new to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously they used to. They probably came from Dick King Smith, the writer. Probably powered him for a few years until he died a few years ago. So yeah, that's maybe why we're seeing them out in the wild. The batteries that used to live inside celebrated writer Dick King Smith now have to be, you know, they had an EU surplus and now they're out in the wild for us.
I thought there might be an homage to the celebrated father of film makeup, Dick Smith, who is known for his work on such films as The Godfather, The Exorcist, Taxi Driver and Scanners. He won an Academy Award for Best Makeup on his work on the seminal Amadeus. So he died in 2014, aged 92. So a lovely tribute to either one of those people and a new player entering the game.
Right off the dome piece, all that information from Lukey Moore there.
Incredible. Yeah, I did just type in Dick Smith into Google. And then Ben Power has emailed with... He's actually tweeted with a battery with just winners on the side of it. Winners.
I mean, look, it puts me in memory of the bloke who used to stand outside Oxford Circus tube station shouting, "You're either a sinner or you're a winner." And
I remember
that,
him, the really broad Scouse guy.
Yeah, for that I celebrate him. Is it Gin Jabin?
Gin Jabin, yeah, but he's called Ben Power in real life.
Okay, right, okay.
So, yeah, that's a hat-trick of new players. Great stuff, great to see. Standards never been higher. Pete, what happened to the sinner or winner guy at Oxford Circus? He was around for years. I completely forgot about him.
He got moved on as a menace, I think. I remember the website B3TA used to do a piece about him, but he would just bother a lot of people, and he would try and freestyle, customer specific stuff. And it was never good. Okay. As this kind of tried and tested kind of like stuff that he'd been using for decades. So God, he might still be around, but he's certainly not allowed around Oxford Circus. Maybe now they've got rid of the old top man. Oxford Circus, the Oxford Circus diagonal crossing probably won't be such a big draw anymore. And maybe he can find a bit more of an audience elsewhere.
So am I to believe then that he, rather than just doing his stated general kind of Jesus saves, kind of common or garden,
yeah,
best greatest hits playlist of Christian stuff through a megaphone. This guy was revolutionary as far as he was branching out, targeting individual people walking around,
yeah,
and referencing them personally.
Yeah, it's all good. That's a nice.
That's great work.
It's a nice red shirt. That. Do you know who else has a red shirt? Jesus, when he got on that cross. Sinner or winner? That's all he'd, you know, that's who he'd sort of roll the punches.
I quite rate that.
It wasn't
That's
very
much
good.
Better than the boring stuff.
Nah, it wasn't very good. Was not okay. Very good.
Fair enough. You've got to judge him on his results, I suppose.
Exactly. We've got some emails, Luke Moore. If you want to get to the show, as always, hello at lukepeteshow.com. Now, we got a message from Pilot Dave. Pilot Dave is here.
I love this email. I selected Pilot this Dave one as well. I love here. It. It's very intensive.
It is very intensive, very comprehensive.
A lot going on.
Look, they are details and details orientated people. They are details focused people, yeah. They're pilots. As you can imagine, says Pilot Dave, I've a bit of time on my hands, so I thought I'd briefly cover a few points. Firstly, life hacks. A, when chopping garlic, cover your fingers in a bit of olive oil, which creates a barrier between your fingers and the garlic, stopping them smelling. Beware, though, the knife can become slippery in your hands. Number two, not sure why, maybe because they are old and as dodgy as they sound, the flies on my jeans Abercrombie come down a bit. So, a good hack is to put a key ring onto the bit you use to zip up the zip. Hook right. It onto the button at the top and then fasten the jeans over the key ring and it stops them coming down. That is ingenious behaviour.
I don't really want to walk around with
a key ring.
You know, a key ring saying Chessington World of Adventures on my fucking fly my jeans.
You know, it's just the ring itself and you may not be able to see them if you do them properly. Like you do them up and then move. Yeah, that would go underneath the flap of the jeans, I reckon, if it was small enough.
I don't like number one either. Olive oil, you'd be slipping all over the place. True, you're cutting yourself
you
to ribbons.
You've got to be careful with that. When cooking, the hole in the handle of the pan is there to hold the wooden spoon you used to cook with, saving you putting a dirty spoon down on the worktop. So the handle of the pan...
Oh, that could be good.
I'm just thinking my wooden spoons dripping. Probably wouldn't have enough... It wouldn't have enough capacity for my wooden spoons, unfortunately.
So what you're saying is then, you've got a frying pan or a cooking pan, you've got a hole at the base of the handle, you put the wooden spoon in, bit up, to save you putting the spoon down the side. I never considered that before, and at first thought it sounds amazing, but I wonder if it's going to drip everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to give it a good old tonk on the side of the pan first, I suppose. But look, fascinating techniques from a man who knows his business.
He's opening a conversation, that's all we can ask.
He is, yeah. And Pilot Dave does go on to say about me referring to oil freezing and ice forming that could block the filters on an aircraft. This indeed could and has happened to feel when flying at higher altitudes and at higher latitudes over Russia and within the Arctic Circle. The fuel freeze point is usually minus 47 degrees Celsius, but the outside temperature can be a lot cooler. When flying these conditions for long periods of time, the fuel can become icy. So we have caution messages appear in the aeroplane that warns you that the fuel temperature is low. Then you'd have to descend into warmer air, warming the fuel up. Wow. Incredible.
That's good.
Yeah. And
good knowledge.
Lastly, in Pilot Neil's defence, he may not even be a BA pilot because BA do lease out their simulators to third-party operators. So he could work for a number of airlines as a result. Also, I don't know about the rest of your listeners, but I'm worried about Pete on his scooter. Can we get him to give Luke three rings every time he safely completes a journey just to make sure he's okay?
Yeah.
Pilot Dave, thank you for that message, mate.
The problem with Pete is he keeps very different hours to me. So I remember once he called me at 4 a.m. when Alan Shearer got given the Newcastle United job. And you were still up and about. I think it was probably a Tuesday or something. And I was like, what are you calling me for?
Remember, you're in bed with your partner, as I recall.
The partner I have access to.
But remember those days, those heady days where I gave a shit about Newcastle? Like that, I was so excited that something was happening at my club. Something good. I mean, we're in a dire situation anyway.
So do you think, going back to the plane thing, do you think that So when you are in a plane, you can feel it descend a few thousand feet or whatever. Yeah. I always thought that was due to air traffic control or something, but it might just be because probably. They want to keep it warm up a bit.
Bit of both. If you're flying over, I don't know, north of Finland, you probably it's probably a good chance that you're trying to warm up the fuel a little bit. But yeah, incredible.
Have you ever been to Finland?
I have actually, yeah. I went probably about 6 months ago. It was very good. Couldn't have been 6 months ago. Probably longer.
Are you
probably
mad?
Probably about a year ago I went to Finland.
Where did you go? Helsinki?
Yeah.
What was good about it?
The artisanal beer and coffee culture was very good. The people were very, very lovely. And you forget how close to Russia it is. So it was quite a nice mix of kind of like Scandinavia and Russia.
Well, it's just nice to know that you're quite close to Russia.
It's just nice. I just like to know when I'm close to Russia, but never. It's not a country I've ever dirtied my boots in.
On. No.
Well, I would have taken them off before I get in, obviously.
Yeah, provided they didn't ask you first. Did you have any pickled fish?
I've had pickled fish before. No, I didn't. I must admit, I didn't indulge in the Finnish delicacies. Mainly just.
All right, let's wrap up. Good to get an update from you on that one, though, Pete. Good. Let's wrap up with this email from Paul, who wants to give a shout out to honey badgers, which I am generally very much in favour of. He says, gents, I seem to recall you spoke about honey badgers not too long ago. I don't know if you ever saw the original BBC documentary about the intelligence of the honey badger and a particular honey badger called Stoffel. This particular little monster broke into a lion enclosure to take on some lions and then went back a second time afterwards where he got mauled but survived. The sanctuary's owner tried to build an enclosure to stop him running amok, but he kept getting out. It's amazing. I have seen this. I think we should share the YouTube clip of it on our Twitter account, because it's basically a South African man who's got a pet honey badger, or he's trying to look after it or something, some kind of sanctuary called Stoffel, and he develops a enclosure for the honey badger that is like an empty swimming pool, because he keeps getting out of every single other type of enclosure. And then I think at one point the honey badger gets out of the swimming pool by building a ladder out of a rake and going crazy and smashing through all the bins and stuff. It's an amazing watch. They are incredible creatures. You've got to watch it. So we'll share that on the Twitter. The honey badger, I know it's a stereotypical thing to say, everyone raves about them, but they are incredible. They're amazing and they're not scared of anything. They go down snake holes to find black mamba snakes that will instantly kill them if they bite them. It's crazy
Mr.
stuff.
Mr. Stoffel, the days of your escaping are over. Fantastic. His big claws coming over the top of his enclosure. Bloody brilliant.
They also look like they've got like quite punk white flat top haircuts as well.
Yeah, it's a bit Marine Corps, isn't it?
Yeah, very much like a jarhead haircut, exactly.
Enjoyable.
Absolutely. That's a great way to end the show and both the shows this week. We will be back on Monday for more of this nonsense, of course. You know the way to get in touch by now, but I'll re-up it just to remind you. hello@lukeandpeacher.com to say hello to us. Thank you to all our friends who've got in touch so far. Do check us out on social media for other bits and pieces that you may not have heard on the show today. And do give us a review on Apple Podcasts when you get a moment. It's always great to have that. It's not just for our egos, although it is partly for that. It's mostly so other potential listeners can find us and know what the show's all about. So give us a shout on that. Pete Donaldson, it's been a bloody pleasure as always. I will see you again soon, but we'll speak to our listeners again on Monday. Say goodbye.
Goodbye. Ta-ta.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.